All right, morning. We'll finish off the second parak of Zvachim this morning, and we'll start the third parak of Zvachim. The third parak of Zvachim starts on Daf Lamed Beis, bottom of Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, and today's Daf is Daf Lamed Beis. First, let's finish off what we left off from Shabbos. Discussing yesterday different types of machshavas that are mitzarf one with another, combined one with another. The Gemara went through a number of different permutations in terms of chatsi kezayis of chutz zmano, chatsi kezayis of chutz mkomo, and the Gemara had a number of different combinations, and ultimately we came with the Gemara had a number of versions, and no absolute conclusions in terms of when it's mitzdarif, when it's not mitzdarif, when there's a tarovis, when there's a mixture. We're in the middle of the Amud, and we're going to start a somewhat new topic. Amar Rabbi Yanai is found, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. So Amar Rabbi Yanai, Chishav She'achlu Klavim, Lamachar, Pigel. Okay, again, let's go back to our basic definition of pigel. Pigel means that during one of the essential avodas, so I think about and express, or the Kohen who does the avoda thinks about or expresses how he's going to do it, how he's going to eat it, or not he necessarily, let me say it a little bit better, how it will be eaten chutz l'zmano, how the behemah, how the carbon is going to be consumed outside of its prescribed time. Now, when we talk about consumers, so far, what have we discussed? Who's a consumer? So either you or the mizbeach. You're a consumer, the mizbeach is a consumer. Listen to this, it's an unbelievable chiddush. Rabbi Yanai says that even if a dog were to eat it, and again, by the way, we're not talking about whether a dog eats it or not. We're talking about intention. Pigel's all about machshava. So you're saying that tomorrow a dog is going to eat it. Now, again, I would have said without knowing this Gemara, that's not a consumer. A dog doesn't eat a carbon. A carbon has to be eaten by people, right? In fact, we've talked many times about how the consumption of a carbon is lamashka. It's royalty. It's dignity. And you can only imagine how just bizarre it is to think about a dog eating a carbon. But still, the Gemara, Rabbi Yanai says, Kishav she'achlu klav l'macha pigol. It actually will qualify as pigol, even if your machshav is that a dog is going to eat it. Dichsiv, and here we go. Now we're going to quote a pasuk. Now the point is going to be like this. In other words, we're going to talk about this concept in a couple of different ways. But the idea that the Gemara is about to express is the following. That if the consumption in the Torah is called Lashon Achila, that's consumption, right? Even if it's strange, even if it's to us wouldn't be what we would normally call consumption, but nevertheless, if the Torah calls it Achila, it's consumption. And then you go back to the Pesukim by Pigel, in Parshat Tzav, and in Parshas Kedoshim, when the Torah describes Pigel, it says, Im he achol ye achel b'yom ha-shlishi. If I were to eat it on the third day. So once I know it qualifies as an achila, once we find anywhere in Tanakh where it says it's an achila, it then defines itself as a consumption. The Pasuk says, V'esi zevel yochlu ha-klavim b'chelek Yisrael. Yisrael is not a nice lady. Right, remember? All right, not just not nice. And one of the things that was foretold about her and her demise is that she will be eaten by dogs. The only things that were left over were her hands and her feet, right? I think. Either way. Now, right, the storyline over here doesn't concern us in the Gemara. What concerns us is the words klavim and yochlu. Right, when dogs eat, the Torah describes it. The Navi describes it, b'lashon achila. So you see that the thought of a dog eating is an achila. Maskev la Rabbi Ami elamiata chisha shetochlu eish lamachar dechsev tochlohu eish lo nufach. Wait a second. There's also another type of consumer, which is fire. Right? Imagine now where we're going. We went from humans to animals to inanimate objects. A fire. A fire is not a person. And meanwhile, the Navi in Eov describes Eish being an achila. Right? In English, we use the same terminology. A fire consumes. Right? That's a fair English sentence. So, hachinami de pigel. So you want to tell me now that that also should be pigal. So here I am now, I'm doing the avoda, I'm shechting the karban, and here's my statement. Tomorrow, or if it's shlamim, 3 days from now, a fire is going to eat this meat. That should be pigal also. Right? Now v'chitem ha'chanami. Now, what do you want to tell me? Yeah, sure. Okay. Okay, we're following along in the logic. The logic makes sense. Maybe you want to tell me that's true. The hatanan. Lechol kechatzi zayis, lahakir chatzi zayis. Kasher. Sheina chila v'aktar mitzarfin. So the Gemara points to our mission that we just learned. In the mission we just learned, we said, I can't combine a chatzi zayis of achila together with a chatzi zayis of aktara. Now, the Mishnah's point, and this is a little tricky over here, the Mishnah's point is that we already talked about the Mizbech being a consumer, right? The Mizbech is a consumer. But our Mishnah is telling us that I cannot combine consumers, meaning I can't combine me and the Mizbech in order to result in a full kezias of consumption. It doesn't work that way. But here's what bothers the Gemara. If fire is an achila, sure I can combine them. Because what am I essentially saying? I'm going to eat, and the fire is going to eat. Meaning the fact that it's the Mizbeach, that's nice. But just put it aside for a moment. Put aside the fact that it's the Mizbeach. You're burning it. And burning is an act of Achila. So what the Gemara now is interested in trying to resolve is, look, I'm eating, and the fire is eating. And we know the Pasuk in Iyov describes fire being an achila. And so why shouldn't they combine? It really should. Because they're both acts of achila. So the Gemara says, Idafke b'lashan achila achanam. The Gemara says, you know what? Correct. If I would have said, me and the fire are going to eat, I'm going to eat half kezayis, and the fire is going to eat half kezayis, and I use the word achila, correct. But over here we're talking about where I use, instead of the Lashon of Achila, the Lashon of Aktara. The Lashon Achila Lachun, the Lashon Aktara Lachun. And the Gemara makes a very interesting distinction. When it comes to the words Achila, you're right. Achila is a generic term. Anytime the Navi describes Achila, it can combine. So, I'll eat a half a kezayis and my dog will eat a half a kezayis tomorrow. Me and my dog will sit down for a nice kezayis of this meat. Each one of us a half a kezayis. That is mitzaref. I'll eat a half a kezayis and my fire will eat a half a kezayis. That's also mitzaref. What you can't do, that's all what you can do. But what you can't do is me and the mizbeach. I'll eat and I'll be mocked here, and I don't use the magic word achila, and I'll be mocked on the mizbeach. That doesn't combine. Me and the mizbeach cannot combine. But anytime I use the word achila, it can combine. It's a subtle, really subtle difference. Now, from this point forward, more questions, more investigation in terms of what can combine and what cannot combine. So Rav Ashi has the following question. How about a kezayis basar, right? When I shech the animal, I say, I'm going to eat a kezayis basar, but not just me, shnei b'nei adam. Two people. I'll eat a half and he'll eat a half. How about that? Can that combine? So basar machshav azlinan, di'ika shi'ura, or basar ochlin azlinan, v'leka shi'ura. So on one hand, yes, a full kezayis is going to be eaten. On the other hand, no. One person's going to eat a half a kezayis, the other person's going to eat a half a kezayis. Okay, you know, this comes back to, I mean, we really touched on this yesterday as well. In other words, when we're talking about the Isser of Pigol, is it an Isser of Machshava or is it an Isser of Achila? Right? In other words, right, obviously the way to violate it is through Machshava. Right? We discussed yesterday the difference between Matzah Minas Mino V'Neir versus what our Gemara said. Pigol is really all about Machshava. So if it's all about Machshava, look, the kezayis is just it's just a condition. I got to get to a kezayis, but really, be'etzem, it's an Isser Machshava. But over here, when I'm saying now it's going to be two people, you see, the problem now is that neither person is going to be eating that shear of kezayis. So if I'm focusing on the fact that it's just a Machshava and the kezayis is a Tanai, so good, I got to it. In other words, I'm there. I got to a kezayis. On the other hand, if I'm also focusing on the fact that it's an Isser Achila, neither person ate the shear. So it keeps coming.
So we had it before with the fire. If you express it in terms of eating, Ephekazai's eating and Ephekazai of the fire, they combine. So why wouldn't I be the same thing here?
Right. I don't get that. Right. Good. That's a good question. That's a very good question. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm a yeah.
Good. There it's even right. Two different type of healer.
Right.
You know, fire and man. He is both man.
Okay. Let me think about it. Amar Abaye Tashma. Lecho kechasi zayis, lahakta kechasi zayis, she'en achil avaktar mitstarfin. Right? Lecho lecho demid lecho lakta vehechidam mibishne b'nei adam mitstarif shema mina. The Gemara uses exactly a raya, Phil. Right? That's exactly what the Gemara says. Right? In other words, from the fact that in the Gemara uses a Mishnah. The fact that the Mishnah says that a chasi zayis of a person and a chasi zayis of the Mizbech is not mitstarif. So by implication, that would mean that two half kezeitim eaten by two different people would in fact be mitzaref. Halacha v'lecho demid halacha l'aktiv v'hechidamin has that work b'shnei b'nei adam mitzaref shma mina. Okay, so it would be mitzaref.
The human so is grabbing the same canon.
Right, right. But Phil's right though. In other words, earlier the Gemara was entertaining human and fire, right?
Yeah, okay, it's not the same category.
Though. Right, but two different humans are maybe different, may divide. Okay, top of Lamed Alpha, Mid Bay, second line down, by Rava. Chishav lechol kizais, biyasmechte achilas prasmahu. Lachila de gavo medamin alay, or lachilas hedjot medamin alay. Okay, next. How about this? Again, in order to be pigol, you have to think about how I'm going to eat it, chutzas mano. And again, I keep coming back to the essential question, the way I'm putting it, is are we focusing more on the machshav or on the actual achila? Meaning, what's the criteria over here? What's the real designation of pigol? How about this? How about I'm going to eat a kezayis, right? In other words, the shear, and I'm going to eat a chutzazmano outside the prescribed time, but I'm going to eat it slowly, real slowly. Meaning, beyond the time of kedei achilas pras. Okay, we know, in general, either to do a mitzvah, if I lay an iser, you have to not only eat the shear of a kezayis, but within the time frame of kedei achilas pras. Okay? If you don't do it in that time frame, then you don't have the requisite shear. How long is that period? So, by Pesach, right, they throw out numbers like 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 9 minutes, somewhere in that range. Okay? We don't know exactly. But, let's just say for the purpose of conversation, let's just say 4 minutes. Okay? Take an average. So, you have to eat it within 4 minutes. And this is true for both mitzvah and iser. In other words, for mitzvah, of eating a matzah, you have to eat it within 4 minutes. For an iser, in order to be liable, in order to be punishable, you have to eat it within 4 minutes. Okay, fine. What if I say like this? I'm going to eat a kezayis, but I'm going to eat it slowly. So, not bichdei achilas pras. So, you would say, it's not good. It's not pigol. Because pigol means that I have to think about eating a shear. And our definition of a shear is volume within a certain amount of time.
But if you started it, you know,
it's a little bit. You have to finish.
Yeah, but starting is not good. In other words, again, you have to think about how I'm going to be eating a shear. So, but if in my thought process, I'm saying I'm not going to eat it within a prescribed time, that's not the shear. The shear is a kezayis within kedei achilas pras. So if I eat it slowly. So what's the argument now to say that would be pigol? So the Gemara says, I'll give you an argument. I'll give you a good one also. Look, remember, we talk about consumers, so we throw around a number of different types of consumers. We talked about dogs, we talked about fire. We're talking about the Mizbeach. Mizbeach could be a consumer. Now, when I throw something on the Mizbeach, does the Mizbeach eat something bichdei achilas pras? No. 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 It burns as it burns, and it burns slowly. And there's no such thing as a Mizbeach eating a Bechdech. Right?
That's the criteria.
Okay. So, maybe in the world of Pigol, we could dispense with the criteria of Kedei Achilas Pras, because I know that on the Mizbeach, there's no such criteria of Kedei Achilas Pras. That's on one hand. On the other hand, you could simply argue, look, that's the Mizbeach's that's the best Mizbeach schedule, right? The Mizbeach eats on its own schedule. You, on the other hand, you have your own schedule. In other words, you're a human. You have different criteria in terms of what Achila is. Okay, but this is a Gemara's question. Amar Abaye Tashma, Lechol kechatizayis, lahakir kechatizayis kasher, shenachil v'akter mitztarfin. Right? Again, we go back to our Mishnah, we go back to the Mishnah, to the point in the Mishnah, that if I say, when shechting, I'm going to eat a half a kezayis chutzis mano, and the Mizbeach is going to eat a half a kezayis chutzis mano, they don't combine. Time of delechol lahakir. The reason why, as we already established, is because me and the Mizbeach ain't the same. Right? We're different entities, we're different consumers, we don't combine. Halechol v'lechol mitztarif. But instead of saying the word lahaktir, I use the word lechol, which we've already established. In other words, fire consuming. Right? That's a fire, not the mizbeach, just fire. Right? The pasuk in Iyov describes how fire is a consumer. So lechol v'lechol mitztarif. V'ha haktar b'yosem echte achilas prasu. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'm eating half a kezayis, and the fire's eating half a kezayis. Now, fire's not eating bechtei achilas pras, and meanwhile it combines. So the Gemara says, "Doma behasta gadol." You don't know. Could be that it was a huge fire, right? Really, really intense fire, and it does consume that half a kezayis bechtei achilas pras.
Why not even a regular fire? Why is that a big fire?
Well, because the Gemara just wants to make sure that it was in fact consumed bechtei achilas pras. Okay, let the Gemara stand. The Gemara does not resolve that question. Lechol okay, good, and we move on. Lechol kechazayis ulahakir kechazizayis kasha. Okay, now the Gemara is going to formally address that part of the Mishnah where the Mishnah talks about how if I say one shechting, I'm going to eat half a kezayis, and the mizbeach is going to eat half a kezayis, kasher. Kasher means it's not pickle. The reason why it's not pickle is because me and the mizbeach don't combine. Time to lechol lahakir halechol v'lechol davashein darko lechol mitztarif. Okay, the clear implication of the Mishnah is that what was the issue? The issue was lechol or lahakir. But what if it's lechol v'lechol? Right? What if it's eat and eat instead of lechol lahakir? It's lechol ulechol. So, before I move on to this next point of the Gemara, and what the Gemara is trying to suggest now is the following: when I shech the animal, I say like this: I'm going
to
eat a half a kezayis of meat,
which
I'm allowed to eat, and I'm going to eat a half a kezayis of the imurim, of the parts of the animal that's supposed to go on the mizbeach. Now again. Right, the whole point that the Gemara was making is certain parts of the animal I can eat, certain parts of the animal the mizbeach can eat, and there's no swapping. Meaning, I can't swap with the mizbeach. Here, mizbeach, you take the meat, and I'll take the diaphragm, for example. Right, diaphragm is one of the imurim that go up onto the mizbeach. Right, or the kidneys, another part of the organs that go on the mizbeach. Right, we can't do that.
So
right,
is there any shear for that?
There's no shear, it's just the organ. It's the actual organ.
But if you eat any part of the diet, even if half a kezayis of diaphragm, that's possible, even if you eat less than half a kezayis.
Okay, don't say eating. Say think.
Okay,
I'm being a little technical right now, but
okay.
All right, think about eating.
Okay.
Right. In other words, that's exactly the point the Gemara is now trying to make. Is that if I think now I'm gonna eat a half kezayis of meat, which I'm entitled to, and a half a kezayis of kidney, which I'm not entitled to. So from the Mishnah, it would sound like that would be okay. That would be fine.
Well, I have a more basic question.
Oh, okay, so yeah.
My basic question is that from the Emorah.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to eat even less than half a kezayis?
No. You're not allowed to eat anything.
Okay, so
it's all supposed to go up onto the mizbeach.
Okay, so if there's not even a kezayis shear for eating emorim, then that'll make it puzzle right off the bat if you think of eating it.
No, because in other words, you have to
nullify the korban.
That may be true, but in terms of pigol, you have to think about something which you're entitled to eat.
I understand, but right. We have the same thing that if a korban is nullified, then the pigol doesn't even apply to it. At the end of the day, when you look back, because there's something to be. The it has to be a valid korban. Once you have that whole concept that you're going to eat from the emorim, it's nullified. So people can't apply to it.
No, but he only has a chatzik shear for the what he can eat.
Any concept of pigol. Step one is that when you finish with everything, you got to look by the korban and say this was an acceptable korban.
Right, right.
If it's acceptable, then you can apply pigol to it.
Fine. So
now, here, if you're going to eat even a trace of but, of that.
Yeah, but I understand. I'm a little bit confused. You're talking about eating. The issue here is not eating. It's consideration of what to eat. Right. He didn't eat it, though. In other words, he's thinking to himself, I'm going to eat this and I'm going to eat this.
So that would not nullify the Korban if he's thinking about eating.
Because
shear doesn't matter.
Yes, he talks about half shear.
And more, shear doesn't matter. That's
I understand, but what he can eat is only half. So
the thought that needs to go in order to render the animal piggle is I'm going to eat a part of the animal, a piece of the animal, outside its prescribed time. Outside of the prescribed time. And I have to eat a shear.
Right.
And I have to eat something which I'm entitled to eat.
Right.
So what the Mishnah is pointing out to us is that if I point to the imurim, the parts of the carbon that have to go up onto the Mizbeach, which I'm not allowed to eat, and I'm thinking while doing the avoda, I'm going to eat that part of the carbon
outside
the prescribed time. That's not consumption. That's not achila, because I'm not allowed to eat it.
Well, what is it if it's during the time that he just thinks that he is going to more, he shouldn't not be eating?
Right. Pigle is all machshava. It's all an intent.
I understand. He thinks that he's going to eat a piece of that.
Right.
But during this zaman, during the time that he's allowed to eat.
Okay, so that... But it's not pigle.
What is it then?
So then maybe we may go back to Ben's point. It may be possible, but I'm not even sure if it's that. That's not a bad machshava.
It's a bad machshava.
It's inappropriate, meaning you're not allowed to eat it. But in other words, we have definitions of what a bad machshava is.
But doesn't it make it shalom lishma in terms of concept?
Maybe. Okay.
They make it pasul.
But again, let's. I don't want to go there because I just want to stay focused on the point the Gemara is trying to make and just get through the main points of the Gemara. Okay, so time of the lechol la'atir, ha'lechol v'lechol, davashen da'kol lechol, mitzarif, ha'ketani reisha. Now, in the Mishnah, it sounds like that's okay. Okay, meaning it combines. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. Because the whole point the Mishnah was making is, I'm going to eat hafkas ayis and the Mizbech is going to eat hafkas ayis. That doesn't combine. How about if I say this? I'm going to eat hafkas ayis of what I'm supposed to eat, and I'm going to eat hafkas ayis of what the Mizbech is supposed to be eating. That would combine. The Gemara says, the problem is, go back to the first part of the Mishnah. Hak tani reisha lechol shadarko lechol shadarko lechol inch shein darko lechol lo. From the first part of the Mishnah, that doesn't work. Pigle is only when I intend to eat something which I'm entitled to eat. If I think about eating something which I'm not entitled to eat, that's not pigle. So I'm Rav Yirmiya. We've gone through this thought process before in the Gemara. This is the second time we're doing this. I'm Rav Yirmiyahu Hamani Rabbi Elazar Hi. Dama mechash umeachilas Adam laachilas mezbeach umeachilas mezbeach laachilas Adam. Look, I'll tell you like this, that the second part of the Mishnah is following Rabbi Eliezer. Did not, because we learned in the Mishnah, we mentioned this earlier, Hashochet is a zevach lechol davashen darko lechol laachtir davashen darko laachtir kosher v'Rabbi Eliezer posel. Rabbi Eliezer says that if I have a intent to eat things that I'm entitled to and things I'm not entitled to, I've disqualified the carbon. They combine, right? Even though I'm not entitled to eat it, but it is a machshava that will combine. The two machshavas will combine. So I'll just simply say that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Eliezer. So it's then a little choppy, as we already pointed out earlier in the Gemara. One part of the Mishnah is following Rabbi Eliezer. Another part of the Mishnah is not following Rabbi Eliezer. Fine. Abaye Amar Filotem Rabbanan. Abaye says, let's not go there. Meaning, look, all this problem is based on the way you learned the Mishnah and the diuk you made from the Mishnah. So Abaye is going to tell you, look, you don't have to make that diuk. In fact, if you want to learn something from the Mishnah, you can go in a different direction. It could be that the whole point of the Mishnah is I'm combining two foods that I'm entitled to eat. Now, you'll ask me, my kamash malan? Okay, so what's the chiddush? Meaning, I'm now going to think about eating two half kazesim of foods that I'm entitled to eat. That's what the Mishnah is teaching me. And that combines. Okay, but that's obvious. So the Gemara says, we already know that. In fact, the Mishnah already told us that a half kezayis outside That's chutzim, chutzim komo. And a half a kazayis tamar, it's chutzim zman. We already know that those two makshavas combine. Ila ela chola hakdir.
But not for people.
Correct, but just the basic fact that they combine. Ila chola hakdir. If it's achila and haktar miduki dereisha shmaimin alechol, davisha darka lechol, and shein darka lechol, lo. Hashta umalechol, velechol, davisha in darka lechol. Right? Certainly, achila and haktar don't combine as well. Lecho ulahakter itzterich. So the Gemara says, no. What we could be getting out from here is the non-combination of achila and haktara, eating and burning on the mizbeach. Because salkadat chamina hasam hu delavki orche kamechashim. Look, the fact that I'm going to eat a half kazayis of something which I am entitled to, and a half kazayis something which I'm not entitled to. I get it that doesn't combine, because that's not normal. I don't normally eat the imurim. But if it's normal eating, meaning I do normally eat the meat, the mizbech does normally eat the imurim, I might have thought those two machshavas can combine, those two achilas can combine, kamashmalan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that those two do not combine. Okay? Finish the second parakaj on Alach, Zvachim Shekiblu Damam, finish the second parak of Zvachim, and now, this morning, we have the privilege of starting the third parak of Zvachim.
I have a question. If everything is done properly, there's no problem with the machshava up until the zerika is done, and after that he has 2 days to eat shalamim, right? For example, if on day one he thinks that he's going to eat it on the day three, what is the status? It's not pigle.
It's not pigle. Pigle can only be registered, regarded during the avodah.
So what becomes possible? What is it? What is the status?
It's fine. It's fine. Nothing.
It's fine.
Nothing.
No, but there's a penalty for it. What is the penalty?
There's no card.
No. No,
I mean,
no.
If, for example, somebody eats the Pesach on the third day,
so he ate no sir. If he ate it on the third day, if he ate it tomorrow, if he ate it the next day, that's no sir. That's the consumption of no sir. That's kares. That's kares.
Shlamim also.
For shlamim also, it's eating no sir is kares. It's an iser kares.
It's as bad as pigul in terms of penalty.
In terms of penalty, just correct,
does.
Correct. Right. We talked. Yep. Yes. 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 Okay. Third parak of Zvachim. Okay, we start call psulim sheshachtu shchitasam ksheira. Okay, in the second parak, we're going a little backwards right now. In the second parak, we talked about kabbalah mi'elef. We talked about receiving the blood, which has to be done by kohen. Now our Mishnah is going to talk about for a little bit about the shechting of a carbon. Shechting of a carbon can be done by a apostle, by a disqualified person. Now we're using the term very generally.
Apostle means non-kohen.
Pasul means somebody who can't do the avoda. It could be a non-kohen. It could be a kohen who is not qualified to do the avoda. Pasul just simply means, huh?
Not a tumma,
though. Sure, tummy. Sure, tummy. Well, I'm saying that so confidently because the Mishnah is about to tell us that. So that's the other thing, right? In other words, pasul is just that term that refers to anyone who can't do the avoda, but he can do shechita. Of course, he's got to know what he's doing when it comes to shechita. Right, the first two prakim of chulin, but assuming that he knows what he's doing, yeah, he could do shchita. Kol apsulim sheshachtu shchita sam ksheira. Shehashchita ksheir bezarim. Shchita could be done by non kohen. Uven nashim zarim. I'm sorry. Let's go down the list. Zarim, any non kohen. Nashim, a woman. Uve avadim, and a slave. Uve tameim, even a tame. I'll come back to that in a moment. How is he going to shecht? Okay, he's got a lot of issues.
How's he going to get
it? He's got a lot of issues. I'll get to all his issues in just a moment. The afilu b'kachi kachim. And it doesn't even matter what level of carbon we're talking about. Even if we're talking about higher order carbonos, the kachi kachim. You might have entertained a thought that, look, it's a chatas, it's an asham, it's an ola. Right? These are higher level carbonos, higher kedusha carbonos. No, anyone can do shechita. It doesn't matter. Of course, let's just make the obvious point, says the Mishnah. The tummy can't touch the meat. In fact, it's so obvious. Like, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? But still, tummy can't touch the meat. Once he touches the meat, that's it. We're done. Again, I'll come back to tummy in just a moment. Now, the Mishnah says there's an interesting consequence from the fact that they can shecht. Now that non-Kohanim can shecht, so you know what? Their machshava is significant. because, there's a slight rub over here. It's kind of hard to say it, but we'll say it. Shechita is not an avoda, but because, and I know that because non-Kohanim can do it. But meanwhile, if you have a machshava during shechita, it will invalidate the karban.
Why didn't you say that shechita is an avoda that can be done by non-Kohanim, so that you can use the restriction of
right? So that's so correct. In other words, how do you want to say it? Right. Now, the reason why I chose to say it the way I did is because, you know, how much of the first 30 pages of Gemara do I remember? But I do remember, though, the Gemara earlier saying shechita lav avodahi. It's like one of the key lines in the second paragraph, right? Shechita is not an avoda. I wouldn't mind saying it your way. It really wouldn't bother me. But the Gemara prefers to say shechita is not an avoda. And meanwhile, a machshava, a pasul machshava will be registered during the act of shechita. Uvekulan shekablu sadam chusuzman vechusum komo im yesh dama nefesh yachzor akashav yikabel. Now, let's finish up the Mishnah. I'm going to go back to a point that we made earlier in the Mishnah. I'll go back to a couple points. Now, what if you mekabel the blood either with a machshava of, I'm sorry, the kul shekablu sadam chusuzman vechusum komo? What if all these people, meaning all these disqualified people, they received the blood and they had a bad machshava? So here, it works to our advantage, because they can't be mekabel the blood. They're not qualified to mekabel the blood. And if they had a bad machshava, here we can ignore their bad machshava, because they're not qualified to do it. Great. And then the Mishnah says, and you know what? Now, you can fix it. If im yesh dama nefesh yachzor akashav yikabel, if there's more dama nefesh coming out of the neck of the animal, so just go back to the animal, have a kasher kohen, do the Kabbalah, and you can move forward.
Even if the guy didn't have a bad machshava, it's not an avoda that he's been able to do a mekabel.
Correct.
Still be recognized.
Correct. Essentially, that's the point of the Mishnah's making. Kibbal akashav v'nasan l'pasa yachzor l'kasher. If, let's say, a qualified kohen did the Kabbalah and handed it to a non-kohen, doesn't end the story. So just have the non-Kohen give it back to the Kohen. Let's move on from there. Now, earlier, if you remember, we quoted this Mishnah. We talked about Halacha. We talked about Halacha without walking. Okay. Not to go back to that discussion. Kibo b'yamino v'nasan l'smola, yachzor l'yamino. If you accept it with your right hand, which, as we already discussed, is something you have to do, right? And then you put it into your left hand. Again, that doesn't end the story. Put it back to your right hand. Kibo b'kli kodesh v'nasan l'kli chol. If you accepted it in a Kli Kodesh, and then you transferred it to a Kli Chol, a non-consecrated Kli, Yachzor L'Kli Kodesh. Again, that's okay, that doesn't end the story. Nishpach min HaKli ala Ritzba, V'Asfal Kosher. If it goes into the Kli and then spills onto the floor, that's not a, you don't have to cry over that spill. You could just go back and collect the spill and fine. Nasto gabe kevesh lo kenegedi yisod. Nasto nesinitan lamata lamala vesinitan lamala lamatan. If you apply the blood to the wrong place, either you put it on the corner of the mizbech that doesn't have foundation, right? That's the southeast, or you put it, you put the blood above when it belongs below the chot hasikra, or below where it belongs above the chot hasikra. V'asanitanim b'fnim b'chutz, v'asanitanim b'chutz b'fnim. Or if you hit the wrong mizbeach, im yesh dama nefesh yachzor kashav yikabel. Not also doesn't have to, the story doesn't have to end there. If there's a chance to go back to the animal, at this point it's kind of hard to imagine that there is. But if there's more blood in the animal, but not just blood, but dama nefesh, then you go back to the animal, squeeze more dama nefesh out of the animal, and do it again. Period. Two things I want to discuss in the Mishnah, and then we'll go move on to the Gemara. Number one, how is a tame shechting the karban, right? The first point the Mishnah made is that psulim kedu shechita, you don't have to be a qualified kohen, you could be a disqualified kohen, or you don't even have to be a kohen. You could be a non-kohen, and you could do the shechita. And one of the things the Mishnah mentioned was a tame. How is he doing it? So look at Rashi back, second Rashi on the Mishnah. Go back to Lamed Alpha Mid Beis and look at the Rashi. Uvit Tameim. So Batame Sharitz Kamar, Shaina Matame Kli Dalava Tumahu. Okay, so Rashi says, look, it'll be much easier to say that we're talking about a Tame Sharitz. Okay? Now let's go over a little bit of Tumah over here, just to understand the main points in Rashi. Tame Sharitz means that you came into contact with a dead Sharitz. The Torah lists 8 Shratzim that give off Tumah after they're dead. Okay, how do these Shratzim translate into English? I don't know. I think even the art school doesn't translate them into English. Right? We're not sure what all of them are. Lizards, frogs, things like that. Okay, whichever the species are. Okay, and if you touch one of them after they're dead, so they are a source of tumah, they're an avatumah. When you touch it now, you're tummy. But you're a vlad, you're a derivative. Right? You're only a rishon l'tumah. When you hold the knife in your hand, your tumah doesn't go into the knife. Right? Knife is a kli. Knife is a utensil. You can only be metame a kli if you're an avatumah. But if you're just a derivative, if you're just a vlad l'tumah, you cannot be metame kalim. You could be metame food.
Right. But like the animal, won't you?
Correct. But when you're talking about we're talking about shechting over here. You have somebody else hold the animal, and you're going to shecht, and the only thing you're handling is the knife, and your tumah doesn't extend to the knife. Okay, so that's one way to learn the Mishnah, and that's an easy and neat way to learn the Mishnah. That's a clean way to learn the Mishnah. Somebody else will hold the animal down.
Even the Rabbanan, that doesn't go to the
plate. Correct, even the Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan. Now, only if you're correct. That's correct. That's if the metal touches a mace.
If you're an av, it becomes an av.
Right. Correct.
If it touches, becomes an av.
Correct.
Also.
Correct. But that's only by av, not by vlad. Correct. But you're right, though. There is that idea.
The only thing is
rabbinic. No, minatara. You're going to be mitame. You're going to mitame food minatara. You're touching of food makes it that's a tumah d'oraisa. Okay, next part of Rashi, obatame meis. Okay, now let's go even one step further. Now there's another issue which we're going to tackle in just a moment, and that is how can you actually stand inside the azara while being tame? Hold that, because we're going to come back to that in just a moment. Let's go even one step further. Let's say you're not tame sheret, you're tame meis. Okay, now again, let's go over basics. A dead body is a level above an avatama. It's what they call in the Mishnayos an avi avos tumah, the granddaddy of tumah, literally avi avos, which means that if you touch a mace, you're an av tumah. You're now a walking source of tumah, right? Anyone who's a part of the Chevra Kedisha, they're aside from being tzaddikim, they're also walking sources of tumah. Okay, and it's a funny way,
Jewish
funny,
man.
Huh?
A Jewish man.
Let's leave this. Okay, yeah, there's, it's a machlokas tonight. Okay, Okay, so you touch a mace, so you're an avatama. Good. So that now means that you being an avatama, any kli you touch is going to be tame. So now, how does that work? So now you're an avatama, you're touching now a knife, the knife is a kli, and so now you transferred your tuma from you to the knife, and now the knife shechts an animal, and the animal's going to be... So how does that work? So Rashi says, avatama mesu kagon, sheba de krumishol kane. So you're going to shecht using a sharp reed. A sharp reed. Get a paper cut? a sharp reed. The shachar ba, you shecht using a sharp reed. Now, your tumah is not going to transfer to the reed. Because again, one of the basic rules of tumah is that your tumah is only going to transfer to a kli. It has to be utensil.
Can you use a shechita? Or can you use a sharp reed for shechita?
Sure. Sure, Mishnah Chulin says that anything sharp could be used for shechita. A sharp stone could be used for shechita. Doesn't have to be a knife. Okay? So you're going to hold a sharp reed in your hand and you're going to shecht with a sharp reed. Alva b'sakin lo. But you can't use a knife. Shehu metame sasakin lo. Sakin metame sabasar. Okay? Because you're going to be metame the knife and the knife is going to be metame the meat. And so that's not going to work out. Good.
Another question, basic question. How could somebody who got too much mad even be in the Beit HaMikdash?
That's the next part of Rashi. Okay, so that's the so the first part of Rashi is just dealing with how can you be tummy and do the shechita, which the Mishnah obviously says you can. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. And how can you do that? How are you not transmitting your tumah from you to the animal? So one of two ways that we could say it, says Rashi. Either one is that you're just a tummy sheretz, so the knife you're touching has not become tummy, it's a kli. You don't transfer your tumah over to the knife. Or two, even if you're a tummy mace, which means that you're a source of tummy, you're an avatama, and
you can do it in your body.
And you're going to hold it, I'm sorry, and you're not going to shecht with a knife, but you're going to shecht with a reed, and the reed's not a kli. Now, next part of Rashi. How are you actually in the Azara? We know there's an Isser in the Torah of a Tamei not going into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it's right, one of the first Mishnahs in Kalim, I don't want to give the impression I learned Kalim, I did not, but one of the first Mishnahs in Kalim describes levels of Tumah and where you can't go. As a Tamei Mace, you can't go into the Azara. You're not allowed to go into the Azara. Punishable by Kares. If you're Tamei Mace and you walk into the Azara.
You have to do it outside.
So you have to be outside the Azara. But here's the problem. The carbon has to be shechted inside the Azara. So, right, obviously we have another problem over here. How are you shechting when you're outside the Azara and the animal has to be inside the Azara?
Remember Shmuel's father asked him those questions, you know, and he cannot. I don't think you can be outside, no.
Okay, go.
In his bar.
No, the questions, I understand what you're saying. The questions that we asked earlier was questions of avoda that, avodas that have to be done by a Kohen. Because remember, we talked about a Kohen, part of the avoda is the ritzpah, is the floor, but that's for avoda, meaning Kabbalah Saddam, Holacha, those activities. Okay. We're talking about Shechita now. Shechita is not an avoda.
We're going Shechita also. No,
are you sure?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he said if you're suspended in the air and you do the Shechita on the animal and
okay, I'll double check. I'll have my crack team of researchers double check it afterwards, which by the way means you. We'll see if that's really a problem. I'm trusting your memory more than mine right now. Ukagon the Avitzak and Aricha v'shachet. So Rashi over here gives a simple solution, which is really going to be the Gemara solution later on, but I'm explaining all this now. These are just basic concepts. In other words, exactly. You can't walk into the Azara. You're Tamei. Right? Tamei can't walk into the Azara by punishment of Kares. And the animal can't leave the Azara. The animal has to be in the Azara. So the solution over here is to get a long knife and to shech with a long knife. Okay. In the case of Tamei Mis, to be shechting with a long reed. But, okay, one way or another. Okay, that's one issue I want to discuss in the Mishnah. Good. How's the Tamei shechting?
Why couldn't it be when the Azara and he gets carries?
I guess you're right. I guess Rashi...
Here is just the carbon.
Right. You could say that simply. I guess Rashi's just deal... First of all, the Gemara is going to say it, so that's why Rashi says it. But secondly, I guess more fundamentally... The Mishnah is giving a ruling as if to say that it's acceptable. So it's hard to imagine that the Mishnah would be endorsing, yes, it's acceptable, but you're going to be, in other words...
It's not anyway.
Oh, we'll talk about that. We're going to discuss that. Yes, Danny.
Can the Tvul Yom be
in the Tvul Yom, can he walk into the Azara? I should know the answer to that. I don't remember. I don't remember. Okay, the other issue I want to discuss is the first Tosfos of the third Perek. First Tosfos of the third Perek, interesting. Okay, in the Mishnah, before I start that Tosfos, look back at the Mishnah, look carefully at the Mishnah. Right? Those of you who know your Mishnahs and read your Mishnahs, you know that the Mishnah is speaking B'lashan B'di'evet. The Mishnah means, if they do it, it's okay. That's Lashon B'di'evet. Which means that in all these cases, it's not the best. It's not L'chadchila. Right? What we will see when we go through the Gemara is that even though that's a correct way to learn the Mishnah, that's not a correct conclusion. Right? In fact, in the Mishnah, for all the cases short of Tamei, it's really L'chadchila. Meaning, but the Mishnah has the word Tamei, and we really don't want the Tamei to be shechting the animal for fear that the animal will become Tamei. Right? So, for that reason, the Mishnah is B'lashon B'di'evet. But as the Gemara is going to point out later on, really, in all these cases, the Mishnah is talking about L'chadchila. Right? Which then leads us to a very logical conclusion. One of the people listed in the Mishnah is women. The Mishnah says, a woman can shecht. Now, again, the Mishnah says B'lashon B'di'evet, but from the Gemara, you know that's not correct. It's really L'chadchila. And it gets on to an interesting discussion, which is, can women shecht? Meaning, forget carbon. Just in general. Are women allowed to shecht? Now, it's not exactly a feminine job, right? Can you imagine? On the first date, you ask her, like, what do you do for a living? Yeah, I'm at the slachhouse. I shecht animals. Okay, so I understood, but, okay, leave the gender out of it, like the gender typing out of it. Just from a halachic discussion, are women allowed to shecht? So, from the first Mishnah of the third Perkos Vachon, the answer is yeah. And not just yeah, but even Lachatkilo they're allowed to shacht. So look at Tosfos over here, where Tosfos quotes a Rishon. And I will say this, an obscure Rishon, a Rishon that you've never heard of before. V'gmar muchach d'nashim shochet safi lechatchila. It's clear from the Gemara that women can shecht even lechatchila. Hale lemisne tameim d'lechatchila lo v'lo kamra mishum d'bay lemisne nashim d'ktani bereisha. Okay? And look, and once you go through the first bit of Gemara, which we'll go through, hopefully this morning, you'll see it's obvious that women are allowed to shecht even lechatchila. The only reason why the Mishnah uses the words b'di'eved is because of the Tame. Good. Mikan Shuva Lamasha Kosvu Behilchos Eretz Yisrael. There's a Sefer. Now Tosfos is quoting it, which means it's a Rishon, an early Rishon. It's called Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. Right? It's written by Eldad Hadani. I don't know much about him, but he claims this Rishon that he's from the tribe of Dan, which in of itself is interesting because, you know, he feels like he's one of the 10 lost tribes. I don't know. I couldn't even begin to guess. But I'll tell you this though, whether he's Sephardi or Ashkenaz, Tosa says that I don't know, but I do know this: he's wrong. He's
Sephardi,
right. He's wrong. He says Nashim lo yishchutu mipnei shedat and kala. He's of the opinion that women can't shech because of dat and kala, right? Which the Gemara uses as a way of describing women. The Gemara does not use that expression in this discussion. In fact, the Gemara never makes any halachic determination based on that. It's just the way the Gemara types a woman. But Eldad Hadani, what Hilchos Eretz Yisrael does is, well, because they're dat and kala, so therefore they can't shecht. He says so. Tosfos says he's wrong. He's just categorically wrong, right? And the first discussion in Yeridea, right? The very first discussion is that this very discussion about whether or not women can shecht or women can't shecht, and everyone follows along Tosfos. Of course, women can shecht. It's the Mishnah. The Mishnah Zvachim says women can shecht. Afilu lechatchila. And interestingly enough, listen to this. Other outlandish statements that were said by Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. Very interesting. The Odkas of Bahem, Shachav lo birech, the Arim Sheshachat Shchitas Apsula. Two outlandish statements said by this Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. Now, by the way, I hope I'm presenting this correctly. Meaning he's a Rishon. Meaning I'm not. Right, Tosfos is arguing with him. But in other words, it's. There must be something behind his position, but Tosfos says, I just don't understand it. Second thing he says is, let's say he shecht without making a bracha. Right? Meaning, shechting is a mitzvah. When you bake the before you do shechting, there's a bracha to make. What if he shecht without a bracha? So Eldad Hadani says it's pasul. Nope, not a good shechita. Tosfos says, outlandish. Like, it's just, you know, it's out there. Right? I don't know where he gets that from. Also, three, what if you shecht while not wearing clothing? Eldad Hadani says the shechita is psula. The shechita is no good. Now again, it's totally immodest, it's totally inappropriate, but it should render the shechita no good. Okay, so again, it's an opinion out there by Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, and Tosfos says it's v'nir sheheim chumras ba'alma. These are chumra, says Tosfos, Shaya Omer Oso Achacham Shekas of Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. The author of Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, which I'm telling you is Eldad Hadani. How do I know that? Correct. Back to my Yoredei days, I remember this. So, right, these are opinions, and Tosfos describes them as chumras ba'alma. They're astringencies, but not based. Okay. Let's quickly start with the Gemara, and just quickly run through the first sugya of the Gemara, which we essentially know already. Shachtu di'evin lechatchil alav reminu v'shachas shchitas abezar ksheira shashchita ksheira bezarim uvenashim va'avadim uvetmeim va'afila b'katshe kedoshim. Oh, eino ela b'kohanim. How do I know the shchita can be done by a non-kohen or a disqualified kohen? Amar v'chim ein ba'etam echlash and emar v'atav v'necha atchat tishmur kunaschem l'chol devar ha'mizbeach. Because look, here's the default. The default position is, anything involved with Mizbeach, you need kahuna. Yachol af b'shchita. So look, now that I know that that's my default position, so then I would have said shchita also has to be done by a kohen. Tamalomer v'shachar is ben abakar lefnei Hashem v'ikrivo mikabala ve'elak mitzvah skuruna limed al shchita shekshir b'chol adam. The fact that the Torah says v'hi krivo b'nei aron kohanim, right from the point of hakrava, which we've already established means to be kabal sadam. So that means that that's the part where you need kahuna. So the, anything before that, prior to that, you don't need kahuna. Sheshchitak sher b'chol adam. So who adin dafil lechatchila? Nami. So the Gemara says, really, our Mishnah is even talking lechatchila. O mishim dekabay lemisnei temeim, dilechatchila lo, gzer shem yigo b'basar. The only reason why the Mishnah uses the language of b'di'eved is because of tamei. We really don't want the tamei to shecht. Me'ikar hadin, it's okay if he does, but we don't want him to do that. Understandably, because after he shechts, he may touch the meat. Tana sheshechtu, Tana sheshechtu, fine period. And that's why the Mishnah uses the lashon b'di'eved, because of the tamei, because the tamei really shouldn't shecht. Lechatchila, for fear that he'll touch the animal. Good. Period. Stop over here tomorrow, pick it up from the smicha and the mitzvah of smicha.